Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
And finally on this Thursday evening, markets and company news from Just One Lap. Simon Brown, good evening to you and welcome. So let's start with the performance on the JSE today and platinum and gold shares having another good day.
Even Jeremy, they absolutely are. I mean, gold, the futures contract is trading up above, 2,800, which is a chunky number. The spot is a little bit lower than that, but it is back at those all-time highs, which obviously the gold markets are loving. Slightly weaker and also helping. And PGMs, I mean, PGMs are not, they're not at the exciting point yet. I mean, they're still sub-1,000 for both platinum and palladium, although I see palladium just traded at 1,000. But it is off the lows, and I think that's getting the market excited. There's also been a lot of talk around the shortages of platinum in particular in 2025 through to 2028, and chrome, which is a byproduct of the PGM miners. No one cares about it when PGMs are doing great, but at this point, chrome prices are doing great, so they are benefiting from that at least as well.
Simon, you made an interesting point on your MoneyWeb Now program earlier today about the two-pot withdrawal process not necessarily moving the economic needle. What were you saying? What did you discern?
Yeah, I was chatting with Nwabo Makabela from Perpetua, and the argument is, I mean, so we don't have very up-to-date numbers from Treasury or SARS, but maybe it's 50, maybe it's 70 or 80 billion. It's a lot for you or I and the listeners. But in an economy of a couple of trillion rands in size, not necessarily. It's also, a lot of the companies have done exit surveys with people withdrawing, and a lot of it has been, folks have been saying, yep, we're using it to pay down debt. Now, we've certainly seen some upticks in sales numbers from the likes of Mr. Price and others, but not massive, a percentage point here and there. So it really is, it's great if you've got that money and it's suddenly coming, you can pay down debt, or I don't know, maybe you took the family to a holiday and over Christmas or spent it at the mall. But it in the big picture, it's not going to be a significant sort of boost to the economy. It's not adding, a percentage point to GDP or anything like that.
Simon, let's pull the Federal Reserve and the South African Central Bank together. Overnight, the Fed leaving unchanged its overnight borrowing rate, range between 4.25% and 4.5%, followed three straight rate cuts in September. We are living in a slightly more benign interest rate environment in South Africa. Yet, you also made the point today that our real interest rate is 8.3%, and wait for it, the highest in the world. So again, if we're talking about moving needles, we're not moving the needle on this one either, are we?
No, I mean, to quickly touch on the Fed, three rate cuts, a full percentage point over those three cuts, not unsurprising. Inflation has drifted a little higher. Of more importance is the job market just remains incredibly strong. I mean, Jerome Powell started the rate cuts, hikes 2+ years ago. He said, I expect to see pain in the jobs market. We've seen nothing. The U.S. economy is doing perfectly fine. To your point, I mean, absolutely. We have, we have insanely high rates. Our target is 3 to 6%. Even if we say, that maybe the SARB is targeting 3%, the governor always talks around 4.5. Maybe he talks around 3% these days. Our rates are still incredibly high, and it's putting a humongous squeeze. I mean, by comparison, you just mentioned maybe 50, 70 billion from two-pot. The rates are taking some 200 billion a year out of consumers' pockets on higher interest rates, and it is hurting our economy. Now, there's lots else that is troubling our economy, logistics being one of them. At least Eskom is largely working, but it is a squeeze, and it's almost impossible to really grow an economy at these sort of level. Now, back in the day when Joel Marcus was MPC chair, real rates were about 3.5%. We were doing 3.5% GDP growth every year.
Simon, let's talk now about one of the second-tier banks in South Africa. That's African Bank, providing a little bit more clarity on a delayed listing. There was a sense that it might even list this year. Reports now that it will have to wait another few years before it decides to go to the JSE. But one senses that the South African Reserve Bank, that owns, I think it's 50% of the bank, must be uncomfortable about being a player and a referee.
Absolutely. And you're right about the 50%. PIC's got another 25%, and then First Rand, Standard, Absa, Nedbank, Investec, and Capitec respectively own between 7 and 1%. This, of course, from when the African Bank went bankrupt. This was the one part which they recapitalized was 10 billion. Saab can't be comfortable being both sort of referee and owner. That we know. As you said, we had expected a listing in this year. Kennedy Bongani, the CEO at African Bank, said, nope, they're bedding down some businesses. Market conditions aren't ideal and the like. I hear him on the former. I think on the latter, none of the current shareholders there are really holding the bank for return. They took that investment to bail the bank out. But they will probably take a slight haircut at current valuations. But, you know, waiting for the perfect market, I mean, I'm not sure about that. I think, you know, there's a timeline. I was surprised to see the statements that they would look to list only after their 2027 financial year results, which, as you say, pushes into 28. There's never a perfect market. I think they should list sooner rather than later. And if nothing else, get that conflict out of the way for the South African Reserve Bank. It hasn't been a problem. But if, you know, if something goes wobbly, it can get very ugly in that regard.
Now, when a big fund manager, Simon, like Coronation talks, I guess the market does listen. It's decided to dump Exxaro completely. It's cut its exposure to Sasol, but showing a little bit of confidence in Vodacom and I think Woolworths as well.
Yeah, so Exxaro, they make the statement that they've made really good money off it, and indeed they have good dividends, but they're worried around some management issues, CEO currently suspended, all sorts of claims, boardrooms, and that's never good. That's, you know, you can't be efficiently running a company when there's fights in the boardrooms and CEOs are on suspension. That doesn't work well. Sasol, they said that they're worried about the valuation because they're essentially bearish on oil. Sasol, of course, has got the chemical business as well, but that chemical business is doing way worse than the Secunda oil plant at this point in time, and it's been under pressure. And, you know, to the question, does Sasol have value? Sure, it probably does, but who knows where the cost of sort of greening their Secunda plant is going to be enormous. The Lake Charles business, the chemical business, is really, really struggling, and there's no sign of that turning around anytime soon. There's a lot to do perhaps before value, if any, gets realized from Sasol. Vodacom, yeah, I'm not a big fan of telcos and Woolies. I got to say, the fashion part of that update was weak. I think ShopRite's the better bet there. But Coronation is way smarter and got way more money than me, so we'll leave it to them.
It's a lot. It manages something like, 700 billion rand or something, I think.
Yeah.
It's an enormous amount of money.
Like,
just very quickly, I see that Barlow World share price, retreating slightly today, just 0.9%, but the share price rising the most in 25 years, and this is after a consortium, including its chief executive, has offered to buy and delist.
Yeah, and they seem to have really good support. There was one shareholder who's saying, nope, we want a higher price. They don't have enough to block it, but if they got about another 10% of folks on their side, they could potentially block it. A bit of a conflict with the CEO being involved in that process. He didn't withdraw himself in the early stages, but it does look like it's probably going to delist.
And we will have a conversation next week. Simon Brown, Just One Lap. Thank you very much indeed.
Business on Heart 1027 with MoneyWeb.